For many of us, the holiday season means multiple viewings of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and there's no shortage of films and stage productions to choose from. We're especially favored here in Portland with a version that comes directly from Mr. Dickens himself when he performed the story before live audiences in Victorian England. That's the long-running one-man show, A Christmas Carol, a Victorian reading, with actor, writer, artist, and teacher Tom Bray in the role of Charles Dickens. Tom recreates the public readings of A Christmas Carol that Dickens performed from 1849 until his death in 1870, and Tom's bringing the show back this year to Portland's Coho Theater for two performances on Saturday, December 23rd, the eve before Christmas Eve. Tom's here with us now to talk about the show, Dickens' own readings, and the enduring appeal of this holiday classic. Well, Tom, the last time we talked was December 2020. That was peak pandemic. And since theaters were closed, most of us were sheltering at home. You live stream your performance of A Christmas Carol that year. Is this Saturday the first time you'll be returning to the stage as Dickens?
Yes, I haven't been back on a stage since that time. And I've been very anxious to do it. I used to do it in a much bigger hall. I've done it at the old church for years and years downtown, and then at the Congregational Church on the park blocks. And I'd always wanted to kind of rethink it and think what it would be like in a much smaller space, a much more intimate space, the kind of places that I had been used to playing in Portland, like the old Profile Theater space on Belmont, and just these small little 99-seat houses. And Coho is one of those spaces. So when the opportunity to do that arose this year, I thought, well, let's reconceive this and see what it'll be like in that space. And it kind of fits with the Dickensian theme of a tale told around a fire, just kind of like the streaming performance did. It's much more intimate. When Dickens first wrote Christmas Carol, the first time he ever gave readings were to private parties of friends, where he would just gather around and just, you know, he was a ham.
At his house?
At his house and at friends' houses and like at small clubs, you know, that gentlemen belonged to. And and he would give readings and enjoyed it because he loved amateur theatrics. Many people said that if he had not been a writer, he would have most certainly been an actor. And in fact, Dickens actually scheduled an audition early on in his career, and I think it was in the 1830s, to audition for a stock company. But the literary world was saved from Dickens as an actor because he had a cold, and he could not attend the audition. And by the time the next audition rolled around, he had already become a success as a newspaper reporter. So his writing career had launched.
Yes, the perfect step from actor, huh?
Exactly.
Now, this holiday, going back that far, this holiday season actually marks the 180th anniversary of A Christmas Carol. It first appeared in print on December 19th, 1843,
right.
So just a few days ago.
Right.
It was an immediate success, no surprise. But unlike Dickens' previous work, it wasn't serialized. It came out in its entirety.
That's right. And he self-published it, which was something kind of new for him, and basically broke even on the first printing of it because he insisted that everything be, you know, perfect. He got the illustrator he wanted. And he made sure that the plates were in color, and that the book was had this beautiful, you know, bound with gold leaf and the whole deal. And it cost a lot of money, and so he barely broke even for his first printing. But by 1844, it was into like something like three or four printings. I mean, it just took off after that. It was a tremendous success.
Now, you mentioned some of those early readings, which were really just for his friends in his house or their houses before a nice holiday fire. He started that in 1849, but he continued until his death in 1870, and I'm sure he played bigger audiences. Was that unusual for the time, a famous writer performing his own work that predated Mark Twain?
Yes, it was rather unusual. Thackeray had performed his own readings for profit. And that was the real question. Dickens started doing charity readings in about 1853, and he was up to two or three readings of Christmas Carol. And By that point in Dickens' life, he was a mess. His literary powers, he felt, were failing him. His marriage had fallen apart. And he really needed a shot in the arm to do something different. So he kept saying to his close friend, well, what if I did what like Thackeray did and I did it for profit? Because, I mean, it was clearly like 2,000 pounds for charity each performance. And so he's thinking to himself, I got a new house here. I got to support, you know, this huge family and my mistress. So, what am I going to do? And so he was advised not to do it. They thought that it would be déclassé, but he did it. And so in 1858, on or around there, he began doing performances for profit. And he was very nervous that the public wouldn't accept him because it was a huge scandal, his marriage breaking up. But they didn't care. They just wanted to hear Dickens read. And it was The Carol was by far the most popular book that he read. And he adapted the text. You know, reading is to say it was a reading is the broadest sense of the term. It was really a performance because
that's what I was going to ask you. As this amateur actor who wanted to go professional, he probably wasn't a dry reading before a lectern.
No, not at all. In fact, the accounts of his reading, it was, you know, the voice would change when Scrooge came on. The voice was cold and caustic, and you know, he did all the voices, and he had them basically eating out of their hand, you know, tears, and because really his books were melodramas. If you strip out the irony and the humor, his stories are they're theatrical melodramas. He thinks in terms of the theater in the way he writes, and so it was well suited to be adapted for a stage reading. And Dickens had been on stage as an amateur performer. In fact, he loved to produce amateur theatricals. And so he was well attuned to being in front of an audience and knew how to hold their attention. And this was, I mean, it was no exaggeration to say that Dickens was the solo performer of the Victorian era, of that period. I mean, he was the guy to go see. And he toured America, too. So it was hugely popular. And right up to his death, he was performing, even almost on death's door.
Now, you first performed A Christmas Carol, a Victorian reading in Portland in 2004, Tom, and you used Dickens' original script. How did you find that? Whether it was published in a book somewhere or available in a library?
You know, the New York Public Library had a copy of that reading text that Dickens had printed and then marked up with his own manuscript hand. And it was reprinted.
Oh, with stage directions for him?
Directions, and even directions as to where he would pitch his voice. You'll see sections where it'll say low, and then high, and then exuberant. You know, he'll have, like, margin notes. So I use that as, it's not quite accurate to say it's entirely Dickens' reading copy, because, and here's why. When Dickens read The Carol, he cut out a lot of the social commentary. And the reason he did that was he was still writing, and he wanted his theatrical experience to be, his reading experiences to be kind of frothy and fun for the audience. And so he took out a lot of that scolding of his audiences for, you know, the treatment of the poor and children, et cetera, because he felt that that was left for his pen, because he was still writing books. But to our modern ears, if we were to see Christmas Carol and that, you know, ignorance and want and all of that was left out, we would
Yes, it's a very powerful social statement.
Exactly. We'd feel cheated by that. It's absolutely necessary to have that stuff in, the Dickens' message and scolding of Victorian rich for their treatment of the poor. And there's a lot of stuff that would mystify modern audiences, you know, a lot of figgy pudding and things like that, that we just don't, you know, it's not going to delight us the way it did Dickens' audiences. So I trimmed some of that back and put back in the social commentary. So it's a kind of a nice balance of Dickens' original script and then just restoring some of the things that make the Christmas Carol a Christmas Carol for us in modern times.
Has your script changed, your performance and reading changed at all since the first one in 2004?
Yes.
Based on audience reaction or what's happening around us, maybe putting in some of that social commentary.
Exactly. It has. And I have put in more social commentary. And I'm reminded of Hal Holbrook, who was a friend and who encouraged me to do this. And, you know, his performances of Twain would be different depending upon what was going on in the world. He had a lot of material he could plug in as a commentary for what was happening. And Dickens offers us that opportunity in Christmas Carol, too. So I have kind of retooled it for, you know, in certain years and put the things in that I felt were extremely relevant and messages that I thought we should hit for the, you know, for the time.
And how did you get into the role of Dickens to kind of channel Dickens in your performance? Maybe you talked to Hal Holbrook about how he did it with Mark Twain, but I was wondering if there's any written accounts at the time of people who were in the audience and describing Dickens' performance.
Yes, there were written accounts of Dickens' performance and performances in general, but there are some published books that are basically diaries, like almost like a videotape in words, a transcription, if you will, of the way Dickens performed. And so there were a lot of clues there. Of course, as a performer, you just have to kind of do what you think is best for a modern audience. But surprisingly, one of the accounts is actually Mark Twain, who was not impressed with Dickens at all.
Was he a little bit jealous and malicious in there, or just kind of typical Mark Twain?
his criticism was he felt Dickens' voice was weak. And kind of, you know, thin and not very exciting. And perhaps he saw him, I think by the time Dickens hit America, he was older and he was sick. And he might have caught him on one of those nights where he was just not feeling well. I mean, he was dying of congestive heart failure. Clearly, that's probably what it was. And it might just not have had the energy that night for Mr. Twain.
something for Mark Twain to kind of jump on then.
I don't think Dickens ever saw his stand-up act. So I don't think Dickens had.
It could have been a little rivalry there.
exactly.
Now, Tom, you've had a long and successful career as an actor, a screenwriter. You teach story and screenwriting. What do you think makes A Christmas Carol so successful, so enduring as both a story and a performance piece? You mentioned the melodrama parts of it, and I think in the past you've also mentioned it's also a ghost story, which gets our attention.
Yeah, indeed. There is a grand tradition of holiday ghost stories in Victorian times. And of course, Victorians loved ghost stories. I mean, if you think about it, the early Victorian period, it's a world lit only by fire. So if you've ever been in a place where it's just fire illuminating things, you know that in the corner there, there's a ghost, you know, in the flickering of that candle. So
right, a dancing flame.
Yeah, and with death so present to the Victorians, it was not hard to imagine that they would have had a fascination with ghosts. And so, yes, Dickens conceived this as basically a ghost story, the haunting of a man. But I think the genius of the story is that I think as human beings, we love, and we can see it in our politics too. I mean, we love a redemption story. We love someone who has been redeemed from point A to point Z. And certainly Scrooge is that, someone who has completely changed overnight from, you know, the covetous old sinner to someone who was, a good friend to all. So I think that's the eternal appeal of it. I mean, it takes place at the end of the year because it's the holiday. And, you know, we reflect at New Year's on ourselves and just on our own journey in life. And I think that Christmas Carol frames that for us as as our own self-reflection of where we are and what we want to change. And do we have time to do that? And the reminder that we better take the time because that, you know, shrouded figure of the ghost of Christmas yet to come, you know, pointing down to the gravestone is there to remind us that time is not eternal, that we only have a certain amount of time to do good for our fellow man. And I think that people want to do that. And I think that's the eternal appeal of Christmas Carol.
You know, I didn't ask you this last time, but I'm very curious if you have a favorite film version of A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
There's so many.
Yeah, certainly Alistair Sims is...
yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, is the... I mean, And coincidentally enough, he was a comedian. And there's much of Dickens that's funny and a lot of humor in this story. And it really takes a good comedian to play this. I mean, Alistair Sims was also a fine dramatic actor, but at heart he was a comedian. He was a stage comedian. And that shows in his performance. It's just nuanced and wonderful, and he finds every cheap joke he can find and it's just delightful to watch. So that's part of my preparation, is to kind of watch and get in the spirit of it by seeing what's come before. I've probably seen every filmed version of Christmas Carol there is, just to see what others have done, and it's fun to see. And then of course it's really fun to play.
Now, Tom, where can listeners find out more about the show and purchase tickets if they like for the Saturday performance?
Yeah.
Performances.
Yes.
There's two.
I was talked into two. I'm not so sure that I'm happy about that, because it's rather exhausting to do, but because it's me alone for 1,400 lines on stage for, an hour and a half. But it is cohoproductions.org is the theater website, but there's a direct link to the ticketing page. Listeners can go to pdxchristmas.com, and it'll forward to the ticketing page for Christmas Carol, which is two performances, one at 2 p.m. and one at 7:30 p.m. at Coho Theater down in Slabtown.
Well, Tom, again, many thanks for joining us today. I wonder if Mr. Dickens would be kind enough to leave us with a few words of holiday cheer.
Ah, sure, absolutely. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
We've been talking with Tom Bray, who will be performing the Portland holiday tradition, A Christmas Carol, a Victorian Reading, this Saturday, December 23rd, at the Coho Theater, 2257 Northwest Raleigh in Portland. There will be two performances at 2 p.m. and again at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more online and purchase tickets at cohoproductions.org. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.